So what I want you to now do is I want you to imagine that we've gone 500 years in the future and that such a cylinder is about to be built or is being built. And we're going to do this in a kind of fantasy way. I'm going to pretend that we are listening to a galaxy news report from the year 2587. Tachynauts, a term we are soon to become more aware of, have today brought us to a new frontier, the frontier of physical time travel. For the first time in our history, human beings are about to go into the past or into the future, periods that most of us think don't either exist or they're already gone. In other words, many of us believe that they don't exist now. Now, if this voyage succeeds, a new vision is going to become a reality. We have three tachynauts with us, and I'll explain what those are in a moment. Colonel Francis Zweizeit, Carol Rome, and Technical Sergeant Jacob Camino. All of them are, of course, officers in the United Planets Space-Time Service, the UPSS, and of today are going to take this journey, and we are anxiously awaiting to find out what's going on. In order for us to understand this, we have our science correspondent, Dr. Roland Espeston, who is professor of temporal studies at Princeton. First of all, Dr. Espeston, can you please tell us what is meant by the term tachynaut?
Yes, I'd be very happy to explain this to you. The word tachynaut comes from the root word tachy, from like tachometers, which means very fast. You see, a long time ago, we were looking for the particles that could travel faster than the light, and we called them tachyons. By the way, some of you may be disturbed by my accent, which sometimes is French and sometimes German. That's because I have a German mother and a French father. They constantly were arguing all the time. So my accent sometimes is French. Sometimes it's German. Forgive me for that. Anyway, they never this word tachy. Then, like we call these particles tachyons, which means they move bloodily fast. They really zip along, and so we thought that tachyons work go faster than light because they do that. They can go backwards in time, according to Einstein's relativity theory. So we erroneously thought that such journeyers who would travel in time would have to go faster than light. We didn't know how to do that at the time, but we believed that was what had to be the case. So we called them tachynauts. And, Professor, I'm sure that that's very exciting and everything, but our viewers who are watching at home would appreciate hearing a little bit more about the cylinder. Can you give us a little background? First of all, what is really going on there? What's going to happen?
Certainly, I'd be very happy to explain this to you. You see, several years ago, this was a big to-do. The United Federation of Galaxies decided that that with the new technologies that had been created, that we should attempt to build a time machine using the ideas of Van Stockholm of 500 years ago and Professor Tipler of 500 years ago. So we needed to construct it, and so we started looking in there. Well, Professor, that's fine, but could you please explain to us what's going to happen? I mean, are these human beings going to enter this this thing we're going to build? And
it's really not the cylinders they are going to go inside, because it is being built from neutron stars, and they are very, very horrible. These are very horrible things to get too close to. They have enormous gravitational fields, and even a teaspoonful of neutron star is 10 billion tons of weight. You don't want to go near these things, so you don't want to go into them at all. And wait a minute, Professor. You say these are neutron stars? What exactly is going on? What we had to do is something we would call neutron star synthesis. We had to figure out a way
in which we could get a number of these neutron stars together, you see. And this was not so easy to do. Professor, what exactly is a neutron star? Maybe we should explain that to the end. Sorry. A neutron star is like an ordinary star, except it's very compact. If you take an ordinary star, which may be 100 times in diameter as compared to, say, Earth, and you compact it down to the size of a football stadium, you have a neutron star. I mean, it's very dense material, all that material mass gathered together. And it's called neutron stars because all the electrons in the atoms of the star are squeezed into the nuclei, and you form electron protons become neutrons, and it becomes a giant nucleus. Now, how do you make a cylinder out of all of that? I mean, I don't get it. Well, what we had to do is we had to figure out a way to bring several neutron stars together. So we began to figure out, we had a technique that which was invented by some distant galaxy scientists. I don't remember their names right now. But they would lasso, literally like a lasso, they would lasso these neutron stars, and they would bring two of them and fuse them together such a way that they began to spin in the same direction at the same time. Each of the stars are about 20 kilometers or 12 and a half miles in radius, and they fuse them together so that they're roughly 40 kilometers across, and you take about something of the order of 100 of them, and that makes a tube, a cylinder, about 4,000 kilometers long. And so that's what we did. Well, Professor, what exactly can we expect to happen here? Well, it's a little difficult to understand because our concept of time is not so easy to explain in the simplest way. It's best to think of time as already out there, like spaces. And if we look at the cylinder, we would find, if we, say, approach the cylinder from the end, where it looks down on the cylinder from the end, where we just see the circular end of the cylinder, from that point of view, we would find zones, circular zones surrounding. They're actually tubes. They're actually cylinders themselves, cylindrical zones surrounding the cylinder. And each zone, there's a different possibility for time travel. In some zones, in fact, you can't even go into them. They're called forbidden zones because to get there, you would have to be going faster than light, which we know now is impossible. So the tachinauts are forbidden from making any journeys into the forbidden zones. But in the allowed zones, they can go forward through time or backward through time, or they can even stand still in time. Okay, well, Professor, let's consider what are the possibilities in the cylinder, assuming that they enter safely and exit safely. What are some scenarios that we might think could happen? You said there were these zones. I think you said they're in the safe zones. They could go backwards through time. They could go into a place where they don't move at all in time. What is that called? Oh, that's called the null zone. They would enter the null zone, and in that null zone, no time would pass. And then if they go to an adjacent zone, they would go backward or forward in time. Are they traveling in time? Do they get younger? Or do they get older? Or do they simply don't age when they are in these different zones? What are you really saying? Oh, no. It's very confusing. I appreciate it. Time travel it gives me a headache to try to explain to people. It's a very confusing topic. No, you see, for them, they will always be going older in time in normal way for them. So, for example, when they are in the null zone, they will be traveling around in a circle in the null zone, and the time will pass. They may spend a couple of days maybe in the null zone. And when they come out,
they will find that they haven't, they've aged several days or whatever hours, but when they see where they are in space and time with the rest of the universe, the rest of the universe will not have aged 1 second. In other words, for us watching this, it would be very funny. We would see them enter into the null zone, and then they would instantly pop out at another place. And we think, my, that's a great trick. But if they were in the null zone for too long of a time, they were in for maybe 20 years. To them, 20 years. For us, it would be no time at all. So, well, wait a minute, then. You mean you're comparing the time that they spend with the time that we spend? Is that what you mean? Yes. That's the idea. We call that the short time, the time spent that outside of the cylinder, or we call it asymptotic time. That's the map of time. That's the space-time in which they are traveling. Well, Professor, I want to thank you very much. That was very interesting. I understand that they're about to enter, and we'll wait and see when they emerge. When are they due to emerge? According to the schedule, they should emerge in approximately 2 weeks. Well, Professor, I'd like to interview you again or have you help us out, explain this all again when they come out. Would you be willing to do that? I certainly would. Thank you very much, Professor Roland Espeston.